CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. The BRICS, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The BRICS. Heretofore, it's been regarded as an organization of like-minded, non-American presences. In the present conflict right now, it has been reorganized so that no single member of the BRICS is in support in any fashion of the NATO effort in Ukraine. That doesn't mean that they're supportive of Russia, Russia's position. It means that they come as close to being non-aligned or neutral as you can be in this present planet. Gregory, you write very critically of the BRICS as a possible source of power in the 21st century. How so?
Well, they are gaining some cohesion as a strategic bloc, and they're not doing it because they have any ideological compatibility necessarily. In fact, many of them are polar opposites, but they do have this great interest in finding out where the money is and how they can get it. Look, we have to look at BRICS as an interesting combination, which was created from the rarefied atmosphere of the New York investment community in about 2001, when the whole BRICS concept was conceived as a block of countries which could benefit from investment from the U.S. and the U.S. could benefit in turn by controlling those economies. That was all that they had in common. But it so inspired these countries to think that there was a block which could be considered as strategic, that they started meeting regularly, initially on the margins of the United Nations, and created a relationship. Well, inevitably, because of the presence of Russia and mainland China, the communist China, those countries wanted to use this as a stalking horse to get into the community, and they started creating trading agreements with the BRICS countries and between them. And it also brought in, of course, India, which is notoriously non-aligned, if you like. They will trade with Russia and the PRC, but they are keeping their own counsel. The reality is that because of this BRICS alignment, Brazil has been favored as the big provider of raw materials to the People's Republic of China and will trade with it in yuan, particularly under the new government of President Lula. So that's a great advantage to Beijing. And Brazil is not only providing things like iron ore and the like, but is now providing the bulk of China's corn imports. South Africa is also escalating its corn exports to the People's Republic of China. So this has been a great benefit to South Africa and Brazil right now, and to the PRC, which has been able, as a result of that, to reduce its dependence on U.S. farm products. And this is strategically important because it means that the U.S. cannot cut off China from its food supply in the event that Beijing decides to launch an attack on Taiwan, for example. So these are all strategically interrelated. And yes, it does strengthen the Russian and PRC economies because there will be trade increasingly in rubles and yuan, and that takes away from the singularity of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency. So it's a process of marginally helping Russia and China, but marginally also eroding the enormous control which Washington had over global trade for the past 40, 50 years. So it is important.
How does it work with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is understood to be a Chinese-sponsored? These are not quite the same groups, but they are interested in each other. In fact, sometimes I think there's observer status handed out for both groups. I think Iran has had observer status in both groups.
Yeah, that's correct. And Iran is now a full member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. But three of the five members of BRICS are in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, India, Russia, China. China and Russia both began the SCO hoping to regain control over Central Asia. It's evolved somewhat differently than they expected, because now India is one of the key members of the SCO, and India will host the next Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit in New Delhi. So, and India is not a friend of Beijing, for example. So SCO and BRICS are made up of incompatible members, all of whom, each of whom, having a desire to exploit the economic opportunities on offer. This used to be the great strength of the West, both Western Europe and North America. That's no longer seen as the great strength of the West. So it's leavened the global trading system somewhat. We have to see that we're back to a time when the Europeans and the US will have to compete for trading alliances. They'll also have to rely on things other than just the strength of the dollar. They'll have to go back to creative means of trade, barter, counter trade, and the like. They will also probably have to start thinking in terms of whether discreetly they will also undertake deals in currencies other than the US dollar. So we're back to a much more volatile, unstable period of the global economy, as we saw even in the mid-Cold War period. Bear in mind that we didn't see dollar supremacy in all things until well into the Cold War period. We saw a time when there was great discussion about trade being measured in counter trade and barter terms and in the baskets of currencies, so that you could value trade by some measure as a basket of currencies which are weighed in the balance and used as a marker. So we're going back to that. The question is, if the United States wants to reassert the supremacy of the dollar, it's going to have to do something to bolster that. And that, by the way, means that it will have to address its own debt situation. Having said that,
you report that the BRICS is a boost to Russia because of its ambition for the North-South transport corridor. What is surprising to me is that that corridor, if I read this correctly, is going to help the Belt and Road, which is in tatters right now. The Belt and Road is not in good shape. So Russia is helping China restore the Belt and Road to prominence?
No, I don't think so. I think that it's absolutely the North-South transport corridor is absolutely competitive with the Belt and Road Initiative. You could argue that the Belt and Road Initiative is east-west, and the Russian corridor down to the Indian Ocean is north-south. But no, they're very, very much competitive, similar in nature. But the reality is that the Russian corridor is really much more tangible than the Belt and Road Initiative, which has a series of projects which are not joined up yet between mainland China and Central Asia, Middle East, down into Africa and into Europe and the like. The new North-South transport corridor down from St. Petersburg down through Central Asia to and Iran to the Persian to the Indian Ocean, that's much more tangible and is underway right now. So they're competitive. BRICS doesn't get a play in that so much, other than the fact that India and Russia are key components of the North-South corridor. India is very dependent on this.
Another aspect of BRICS that you note is that the U.S. and its European allies aren't much interested or involved or committed to South America, Africa, and the Middle East. And the BRICS have representatives in all, Brazil, South Africa, and India. That is a huge advantage. Is the BRICS gaining from it?
Yes, they are. Brazil is becoming very much an economic powerhouse. I know it's regarded as being unstable. Its currency is not a big player in the world markets, but Brazil is a very significant exporter of raw materials and agricultural products and energy. largely based on corn-powered energy, if you like, but it nonetheless ethanol. But nonetheless, it's very, very powerful. South Africa is the weak spot. They are very much helped by the BRICS relationship, but I don't think anything's going to save them from their endemic corruption and mismanagement. So you could do without South Africa, except that South Africa offers incredible access to raw materials and the geography of controlling the Cape of Good Hope sea route.
Also, NATO and the U.S. and its allies are not much involved in Africa, Gregory. We talk about it all the time. If it's hard to find the U.S. in the Middle East, it's impossible to find it in Africa.
Well, you do find it. And in fact, we saw the European Union presence and the British presence, Italians, Irish, and Germans separately, in monitoring the elections in Sierra Leone. And when they refused to endorse those elections, it brought about paralysis in that process. And we may yet see the fall of the Sierra Leone government because of the refusal of the Europeans and, by the way, the U.S. Carter Institute monitoring program to ratify those elections. So that's, if you like, the last vestige of Western ability to influence events in that part of Africa, bearing in mind that in February, when you had equally manipulated elections, which resulted in a clearly unconstitutional outcome, the U.S. had no, and the Europeans had no ability to hold that process up to scrutiny and to cause it to be overturned or sent back for a second round of elections. With Sierra Leone, they still had enough leverage to paralyze that election, but they didn't have enough for example, the Nigerian elections, or would not in the case of elections in Ethiopia, for example, or Egypt, and we're coming up for elections in Egypt pretty soon as well.
Do the BRICS imagine, aspire to being a power similar to the EU? Is that a plan for the 21st century?
They have talked about having a common currency, not to replace their individual national currencies, but to have a common currency with which they could trade amongst themselves and as a trading currency for external trade. That hasn't gone anywhere yet. They were talking about introducing it this year. Clearly not going to happen this year. It may not ever happen at all. There is no other overarching strategic linkage between the BRICS members other than the fact that Russia and the People's Republic of China want to use them to project power, and they will start building bilateral treaties with those BRICS states, because once they start seeing economic benefit, they will start to negotiate intelligence exchanges, visiting forces agreements, and the like. That's already, by the way, underway. So basically, it's not a strategic bloc in its own right, but it does have a degree of loose cohesion, which makes it valuable for the members and particularly for Moscow and Beijing.
Speaking with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs about Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. There's difficult to find what they have in common, but when you consider the war in Europe going on and on, there are advantages to not being part of the Western influence. We're going to turn to our favorite report of the week, King Charles, who has greeted graciously the President of the United States in these last hours. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.